God's good. Okay, well, let's jump into our lesson. We have a new outline today. I hope you got an outline. If you haven't, we can try to get you one, or you can share with somebody next to you. For those of you that haven't been in my class, I print these outlines for you. I don't grade them, I promise. They're just meant there to be help for you. And today, we've been, well, the last, I would say, dozen weeks, we've been going through the series on the prophet Elijah, and then the transition between Elijah to Elisha, and then now some of the miracles of Elisha. We went over the fact that Elisha asked God for a double blessing of the spirit of Elijah. And one of the interesting things, I haven't personally gone through and counted all of them, but there have been Bible students, I would say even scholars, that have gone through and counted all the miracles that God used Elisha to do. And during Elisha's life, he did double minus one of all the miracles that were recorded in the Bible to Elijah. Now you say, wow, that's really good, but not quite there. The interesting thing is, I believe after Elisha was buried, there was a war, a battle near his cave where he was buried, and there were some soldiers escaping, and they brought their deceased friend in and laid him next to, they didn't know who it was, and when this soldier touched the body of Elisha, he was revived and got up, and that was the last miracle God used Elisha for. And I always thought that was interesting. They taught that in Sunday school class when I was younger, and it always fascinated me that God kept his promise even after Elisha was in heaven. And really unique there. Today, we're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to look at it is a miracle of that God used. I say a miracle of Elisha. It's not of Elisha, it's of God, amen? But God used Elisha, and so that's the character that we're talking about right now, but I assume that you understand what I'm talking about. A miracle happened. This isn't totally uncommon, what happened here, but there's the surrounding lessons around this miracle that points to our theme today, divine gratitude. I know it's not Thanksgiving time, but we're going to preach on it anyway, amen? And so 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, and it goes here, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us. Remember, careful, when the Bible was translated here into the English language, has a little bit of a different nuance than we use the word. Behold, thou hast been careful or full of care for us, right? With all this care, what is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when she had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Interesting here. A lot to unpack here, but let's pray and let's get into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Elisha. Thank you that you care for ordinary people as we are today. I ask that you would feed our souls, our spirits today, and nourish us with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our theme verse for today, as you see, is 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." There was a man, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., said, "When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless." One of the interesting things we've seen in our society is that the wealthier our society gets, the more depressed our society gets. The more decadent our life gets, the more hopeless people get. Why is that? Well, I suppose it's because there's a lack of gratitude. Now, I remember growing up, I'd hear Thanksgiving would come around and you'd hear the typical Thanksgiving sermons, and I would zone out and say, well, that's not a very important part of being a Christian. You know, not doing the horrible sins that the Bible talks about, well, that's what I need to focus on, okay? I'm not supposed to be a drunkard or a drug addict or rob a bank, but, you know, Thanksgiving is not something, that's an optional thing. I don't really need to focus on. Now, obviously, I was very wrong. Very, very wrong. Actually, we're reminded of a couple passages, then we'll get into the outline here. But the Bible says that Thanksgiving is the precursor to entering into God's presence, isn't it? Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Why? "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." I recently cracked open a U.S. history book, and now, at my age, it's very strange to see things you lived through in a history book. It's a brand new edition, and it's fine, it's totally fine, but I remember living through some of these things, and I'm realizing, they really skipped over a lot of stuff that happened, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, you guys know that, but why didn't they talk about this or that? Did they have to talk about this? That's all they got from that thing. You know, that's what they thought we need to learn, or these kids need to learn about this time of life, okay? COVID is already being written in history books, right? Amazing. And I thought, really? But you know, one of the things, what did verse 5 say? "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting," and what? "His truth endureth to all generations." One of the beautiful things of having the Bible written by the Holy Spirit, remember 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, said that the Holy Spirit moved. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So God used men, okay? They were physical men with physical pens to write down his words. Inspired literally means God breathed. This is amazing. In a time where even Christian curricula are choosing to skip over things that I would like to put in history books, right? God didn't skip over a thing. It's one of the reasons why, by the way, on a side note, it's one of the reasons why we know the Bible is not written by men. Do you remember that Moses was used to pen the first five books of the Bible? Did you notice that God, recorded in the first five books of the Bible are Moses' mistakes and his sin? It says there about how God kept him out of the promised land. Why? Because he disobeyed God. It doesn't hide the fact that he murdered somebody in Egypt. Now, what kind of altruistic person would write that they murdered somebody? If it was really just written by man, do you think Moses would claim to be a murderer if he really wanted people to follow him? That's ridiculous. If I wanted people, my dad joked, my dad taught a class called, the textbook I believe was Kingdom of the Cults, but he taught on different cults and so on. He says, he was joking. He says, because in all seriousness, a cult, the difference between a false religion and a cult is when it starts with a man. You follow a man and not God. False religion is when true belief is polluted, okay? That's just on a side note. So if you ever want to know, it's like one guy is out there and he just has total control of people and you just do what he tells. That's kind of a cult, right? So my dad says, what's funny is you can really get about anybody, you can get somebody to believe about anything. And so he goes, if I wanted to start my own cult, I would say you have to be bald and you have to eat Reese cups all day. You know, because my dad is fairly bald and he loves Reese cups, right? And he would joke about that. But, you know, he also said, I would never put anything in my religion, my fake religion, that I didn't like. Right? If I like to do a certain thing, like having multiple wives, right? Maybe I'm just going to make that okay. Huh. Right? Does that sound familiar? Yeah. I'm going to say things I don't like. Oh, well, that's evil. But the things that I like, it's totally fine. We're good. Yeah. That's not the Bible, though. I mean, can you imagine the Holy Spirit telling Moses to write down the account of him murdering somebody? Everybody in the world knows now. Everybody. Samuel writing down the account of David, the man after God's own heart. Adultery, murder, lying. I mean, anyway, I hope this is a blessing. I didn't plan on saying this. Maybe somebody needed this today. But it's one of the reasons why we know that the Bible is true. It doesn't sugarcoat it. It doesn't sugarcoat the faults of good men. It doesn't drag them down. It doesn't shame them. It doesn't drag them through the mud. But it doesn't cover up their wrongdoings. We can learn from that. Amen. All right, I'll keep going. You guys are like, move it on. Move it. All right, Roman numeral 1, Elisha's acknowledgement. A-C-K-N-O-W-L-E-D-G-M-E-N-T. That is a mouthful. Acknowledgement. As we saw in this account, verse 8, it fell on a day. Elisha was passing through Shunem, this location. I think it was near the sea, I believe. And there was a great woman. Now, I don't know what great meant. I assume of great means, right? A powerful woman. And she compelled this man of God. She realized, hey, this man is a godly man. I want him to come in and have dinner, you know? And then after a while, she talked to her husband and said, you know, let's build a room where whenever he seems to be coming around a lot, he travels through. Let's build this room so he can sleep. And then if he needs to write, there's a table and a stool and a candlestick, right? And so he can write or he can study or he can sleep, right? And so he has a place to stay. There was no Holiday Inn back then, right? And so he needed a place to stay. It was interesting. Nowadays, churches often have a little room like this, much more fancy now in America, and we call them prophets' chambers because of the story. Just a side note. A, he accepted her aid. Now, I will say this. As an American, I do not like asking for things. I would rather go without than beg. I would assume that pretty much anybody in this room would agree with me, right? There are some people, they have no problem with it, you know? I would rather just go without. You know, it doesn't feel right. I don't want to beg. Well, what's interesting here is Elisha didn't beg, but he acknowledged, he accepted her aid. He didn't say, no, don't do that for me. He accepted it. He accepted it. I did a little bit of research on the word Thanksgiving. Now, we know that the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, a little Aramaic sprinkled through there as well. But the Hebrew word, one of them for thanks or Thanksgiving, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I'm going to try to say this correctly, toda, right? They say that there's an accent on the second syllable, okay? Toda. It means to admit or confess. to admit or confess. Now, what exactly does that mean? And there was a Hebrew scholar I was listening to, and he said this. What's interesting about the Hebrew word for thanksgiving is it's not just like, oh, thanks, you know, like we use thanks. What does it mean to them? What does it mean to them? It's number one, to recognize the gift, to say, hey, I see what you're doing. It was a sacrifice for you, and I'm recognizing it. I'm accepting this. Okay, but also, it is an admission that you are not self-sufficient. What does it say here? To admit or confess. Interesting, right? When they say, toda, right? Thank you. It really means I am acknowledging my dependence on your gift. Interesting, right? It's not flippant anymore. We're realizing that, hey, maybe I can't do everything. So back to Psalm 100, enter into his gates with what? Tova, right? So why does God want us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving? We are accepting or confessing our reliance, our dependence, our subservience, our need for God's help. And when we do not say thank you, we are basically not acknowledging it. And at times when we refuse gratitude, we are refusing the idea that we need help, that we need a gift. Particularly with salvation, we need the gift of Jesus' blood. Interesting now. It takes on a vital role in the life of a Christian. Gratitude. I think one of the reasons when I was younger, my parents did a wonderful... I didn't always listen, okay? But my parents really tried and they did a wonderful job. One of the things at Christmas time that we did was we would open one present at a time, okay? One, it took a while, you know? But one child would open a present and then we would immediately say what? Thank you. But that wasn't the end of it. We would set it in our pile. We would write down who gave it to us. And then we did not get to take the toy or we got, my parents gave us clothes and basically our necessities at Christmas time. And sometimes we would get books or some fun things. We weren't allowed to take it to our bedroom until we wrote a thank you note. Now, it didn't have to be on Hallmark cardstock. It could be a sticky note when we were real little, but we had to write a thank you note. Acknowledgement. Accepting an acknowledgement. I've been told that hell is locked from the inside. Now, I think that's just a saying. Right? The Bible says that there's a gulf and no man can pass between that gulf. But the saying is interesting because you have to reject Jesus to go to hell. John chapter 14 verse 6 says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Right? The basis for eternal life is to first realize your need, turn from self-dependence and to dependence on the payment of the Jesus Christ alone. Sounds very familiar to Toda, doesn't it? Interesting. Why is accepting a gift important? Why? Well, one of the reasons is you're allowing the person that's giving to get the blessing. Now, this doesn't seem like a big deal, okay? But let me read you 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. It says this, but I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You're allowing that person to fulfill Scripture and to sow bountifully. B, he appreciated her hospitality. Now, I have to say I got a little bit ahead of myself, okay? So I'm just going to give you the word. Appreciated, I believe, is the blank here. Yeah, A-P-P-R-E-C-I-A-T-E-D. If A, I think, was he accepted her help. Yeah. So A is he accepted her help. B, he appreciated her hospitality. This church does not... It's not a prosperity gospel church. Amen. We're not Pentecostal. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's in the Pentecostal movement, in the prosperity gospel movement, there's this idea, I'm going to name it and claim it. And so as a result of that false doctrine, I will tell you that, okay, sometimes I've kind of shied away from this idea of the power of the tongue, okay? But let me say, there's a middle row, there's a ditch on both ends, right? And in Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And I wish I wrote it down, but, and I'm going to misquote it, but I'm going to try to say it anyway. A good word maketh basically the stooped soul straight or something. You can look it up. I need to re-memorize it. Makes the heart glad. When somebody gives you something, verbalize it. We don't live for affirmations. We don't. But when you're receiving something, tell them. Tell them. Roman numeral 2, Elisha's attitude. Elisha's attitude. Again, this ties into the word tovah, right? His attitude about things. 1 Corinthians 4:7, New Testament, of course, but it says this, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Basically, it's saying, hey, everything you have is a gift. We went over this last week, ironically. I would say providentially. What is it saying? Why are you acting like you did this, like you built your life, when everything you have is a gift? There's an attitude around here. Famously, James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Elisha's attitude was this. You know what? I'm not better than this. I'm not better than this. Now, I heard a pretty extreme example. I'm not going to use a name, but there's an individual that I know, and you don't know this individual, but she married a gentleman whose father was very wealthy, and she has been very well taken care of in life, probably too well. Anyway, there was a death in the family, right? In Boise, Mandy. And the whole family had arranged, this is unbelievable to me, to stay at a pretty decent hotel. They had all the family there. And they were going to stay at this hotel. Well, this lady shows up. And she goes, I am not staying here. You guys can stay here. I'm going somewhere else that's much nicer. And so in a time of grieving, she forced her entire family to get up, cancel their reservations, and go to this swanky hotel so that she could live the lifestyle that she wanted to live. Unbelievable to me. Now, that's a very extreme example. I would hope nobody in here would ever do that, okay? But sometimes we as Christians have an expectation of what life should look like, don't we? I mean, We're Americans. We've seen success. I remember when we first moved to Pocatello, and we, believe it or not, housing 10 years ago, 8 years, 9 years ago, was, you probably know this, half the price as it is today. And we lived in a beautiful home, but different things happened. We ended up selling it, property taxes. I'll say this, they wanted to raise the property taxes to over $9,000 a year, and that was with a senior discount. It's awful. So we ended up trying to sell, we sold the house, we moved into a split level. And I will tell you, moving, and my mother was sweet about it, but I'm just going to say this, please don't get offended, moving a lady from 3,000 square feet to 1,700 flat with no basement is miserable. Because you don't know where to put everything. You have to get rid of stuff. You do. You don't have a choice. Right? So then you're making choices like, what do I throw away? What do I give away? And there's a feeling here like, do I really, you know, do I really have to go through this? Do I really deserve this? Right? Shouldn't I be able to just live a much nicer life? I mean, later on we'll see that, I'll just give it to you, he approached her, and Elisha offered here, I'm going to get ahead of myself here, but I'm going to say it anyway, he offered her something very special. He goes, you want to talk to the king? Do you want to talk to the captain of the hosts? Now, let me ask you a question. If you did something for a pastor, and he says, would you like to talk to the president of the United States? Or he asked, would you like to talk to the secretary of war, right? I might take him up on it, I'll be honest. Okay. What would you think about that man? He was powerful. You see, the prophets of Israel were up there with the king. They pastored the king. They had access to high places. Let me ask you a question. Yes, this was a great woman, but there was a bed, there was a stool, okay, a table and a candlestick. This was not fancy. Elisha was not too good for it. Sometimes God's going to call you to a ministry or a life that you think you've been cut out for better things. Now you say, that's kind of harsh. Well, it's our life. We're human beings. We have an expectation. You know what? If God is going to use me, if I'm going to pastor a church or if I'm going to have a Sunday school class, God is going to put me in a Sunday school class that's packed to the gills, and my kids are going to be perfect, and I'm never going to have a brat. Right? Well, I've taught Sunday school and junior church off and on for 13 years now, and that's never the case. Especially if you have a full class. Sometimes God puts you in places you think maybe you're better than this. God likes to humble us. And what was the word todah? Submitting, accepting. He was attentive to her. Notice this. It was actually interesting. I don't really know why Gehazi ended his life in disgrace, but what was interesting here is Gehazi was actually the one, the servant of Elisha, who brought up the fact that, hey, this great lady, she has no son, and her husband is older. And if her husband dies here, most likely, based on culture and everything, she could be in trouble. Okay, he didn't say that, but we know the culture of the time. It could have been problematic. It's not like today where if this was like some wealthy merchant, he could have his 401k, he leaves it for his wife, she's fine, she can pay the bills. Not really how the culture worked back then. We probably are all aware of that. Gehazi noticed a need. Now, I'm going to say this on the side. I don't really have a chapter and verse for this, but Look for areas in other people's lives where they have need. A lot of times you don't even have to ask. Did Gehazi ask this lady? Elisha asked, what would you like? Would you like to meet the king? Would you like to meet the captain of the host? Would you like a favor? Would you like to go golfing at Mar-a-Lago? Right? No. What did Gehazi notice? He noticed a gaping hole that needed to be filled. I like gift cards. I like receiving them, okay? I'll be honest. I like the convenience of giving them. It's really nice because I can go to Fred Meyer. I just did this, okay? You can go to Fred Meyer. You can buy an Amazon gift card, give it to an individual. They can buy whatever their heart wants. Because it's basically, I'm a mailman. I've literally delivered tires. I deliver dog food all day. Paper towels. I have no idea. I don't know what the mail service has come to, okay? You can buy anything, all right? And I will deliver it for you if you live in Blackfoot, okay? That's great. But there's something about finding a need without asking, without being asked, and giving and taking care of it. Why? It shows care. If you're going to figure out what an individual really wants, or more than wants, really needs, what does it take? Attention. Attention. Roman numeral 3, and I'll try to be quick. Elisha's action. I want to finish this outline today, all right? I'm going to give you the rest of it, and we'll just wrap this up here. Elisha's action. A, Elisha gave an affirmation, and B, God gave the answer. Action, affirmation, and answer. Those last three blanks. If you're going to figure out what somebody really needs, you have to pay attention. Now, back to the word careful. The Bible... version in the New Testament, the root word kind of means to be pulled apart, be careful for nothing, right? In Philippians chapter 4, to be pulled apart, to be worried, right? I've said this often. My mother had a saying, be careful on purpose, right? In today's vernacular, right? Careful. You drop a vase. I never got in trouble for dropping a glass or a plate or whatever. It was an accident, you know? If I threw it across the room, yeah, but I never did that, right? But if I made, it was an accident, fine, but what would my mom say? Be careful on purpose. Sometimes you have to pay attention. And notice what you have to do to pay attention to other people. You have to take the attention off yourself. It's one of the downsides of gift cards. That's why I brought it up. Now, somebody may really like going to a restaurant. That's a great way of a gift card. But giving, seeking others, it's powerful. God gave the answer. Elisha said, hey, you're gonna have a baby in a year from now. You're going to be embracing a baby. And she says, don't lie to me. In the same sentence, she called him a man of God. So I kind of laughed because I thought, well, that's very strange. Why would you call a man of God, say, oh, thou man of God, don't you lie to me? Like, okay. There are things that we cannot give people. We cannot repay. But you know what we can do? We can get on our knees and we can pray for people. Amen. And we can have access to the throne room of God. And we can say, God, I could never repay this person for what they did. But I know you can. And I'm asking you, would you do it? Would you do it? James 5:16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Availeth much. I'll tell you a story, a quick story. This couple doesn't attend anymore, hasn't for about 5 years now, but there was a couple that was attending our church here in Pocatello, and the wife was constantly sickly. But not only that, she was always talking about how bad her life was. You ever know somebody that you don't want to ask, how are you doing? Because they'll be honest, right? All life is bad. This hurts over here, and this hurts over here, and this hurts over here. I have never met a lady that talked about her problems more than this lady. Never. In and out of the hospital, lung problems, doctors could not pin it down. She couldn't. They couldn't. They would try to figure it out. They said it was asthma. She couldn't breathe. Her oxygen levels would plummet. One day, my dad grabbed me. He says, you know, we need to go do a hospital visit. This lady's in the hospital. He didn't call her this lady. He said her name, I promise. And anyway, he goes, let's go visit her. We walked in, and she is doing great. Not a problem. She's chipper. She's doing great. And we ask her, you seem to be doing well. She goes, yeah, it's husband really poorly. But then I saw this man, and he's in this wheelchair. He couldn't get around the hospital, so I helped him around. I don't remember exactly what she did, but she pushed him around, maybe helped him into his bed or whatnot. And all of a sudden, she felt great. What does that say? Sometimes our problems are of our own making. And God wants us to focus on others. And maybe our problems won't disappear, but they'll get much, much smaller. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll give you about a 9-minute break here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. I ask that we would live the true meaning of gratitude. Would we accept and your leadership, accept your working in our lives as Elisha and this great woman did here in this passage. Please lead in the morning service. Would you empower the music in the preaching? Please move among us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.